Good morning. We're going over question 38 this morning. We're still talking about the effectual call. More specifically, the benefits of those in this life and the life after who are effectually called. Last week we talked about justification, and this week we'll be talking about adoption. How that God took upon the responsibility, not only to care for us, but to pay for us, pay the debt that we owed to Him, and brought us into His family, and called us His dearly beloved. Our question this morning is, what is adoption? The answer is, adoption is an act of God's free grace, whereby what we are received into the number and have a right to all the privileges of the sons of God. Let's pray before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning again, Lord. Father, I confess my sin to You, Lord, and I pray that You would forgive me of it. Help me this morning, Lord. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. And let it all be You this morning, Father. Help us, dear God. Help us to see how wonderful that You are, Lord, and how You loved us with a great love and brought us into Your family. And not only didn't bring us in as servants, Lord, but gave us the right to be called the sons of God. Lord, we thank You for that. Give us great understanding of this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Sons and daughters of God, I read to you in Romans 9, verse 24 and 26. Paul, looking back at Hosea chapter 2 and verse 23, you could look there on your own at one time, but he was referring to this scripture. And he said, "Even us, whom He hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as He saith also in Hosea, I will call them My people, which were not My people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in that place where it was said unto them, Ye are not My people, there shall they be called the children of the living God." And he was talking mostly about us Gentiles in this passage. As the scripture says, those of us who without were now brought in. That wild olive tree to where some of those branches were broke off, that we were grafted into that. The same church that was in the wilderness, as the big book of Hebrews says, with Moses, we were grafted in. If you would turn to 1 John chapter 3, and we'll see here that we are adopted into His family. 1 John chapter 3. In verse 1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And notice this part right here, therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." When adoption happens, we become citizens of another world. We no longer belong to this world. That's why the world hates us. They hated Him. They would definitely hate us as well. We're citizens of another world. If you would, let's turn to the book of Ephesians. We'll look at a few scriptures here. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at verses 3 through 6. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself and notice according to his good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. It's pure grace that we have been called into the family of God. Look at chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That speaks of that inheritance that we will gain one day. We're already seated with him up there. He saved us a spot. He promised, he said, that I go and prepare a place for you. And I will come back and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Let's look at the third chapter of Ephesians. Let's look at verses 1 through 6. Paul says here, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Verse 6 here, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. In Jesus Christ, there's not two separate people. There's one people. It says in the book of Revelation that on the gates will be named the 12. The 12 patriarchs in the Old Testament. It also says in the foundations be named the 12 apostles. There's not going to be two separate churches in heaven. There'll be one. If you would, turn to John chapter 1. I'd like to bring some things out here in John chapter 1, also in John chapter 3 about the new birth, and how the new birth is pretty much directly correlated to adoption. John chapter 1 verses 12 and 13. Start in verse 11. It says, speaking of Jesus, that he came into his own and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The power to become sons of God, the adoption. Look at the next verse. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Turn to John chapter 3. And we'll see Jesus speaking to Nicodemus here about this new birth as well. This second birth. And this second birth brings forth adoption into his family. Look at verse 3 through 7. It says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto them, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. A new birth must happen to be adopted into the family of God. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 49, you don't have to turn there. It says, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Ezekiel 36, I'll just read it to you. The prophet here says of God, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk into my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments. The great mercy, the great love, the great grace of our God. Not only did He call us, not only did He adopt us, but He gave us everything that we need to obey Him. He gave us a heart to obey. He took out that rebel, stony heart and gave us a heart of flesh. If you would turn to Romans chapter 8. And we'll look at the inheritance we receive through this adoption. Verses 16 and 17, and we'll see two things in this passage of Scripture. We'll see that we are heirs of the kingdom to come, and we'll also see that this adoption brings forth suffering in this life. That's part of it. This world is not our home. Jesus said, if they've persecuted me, they'll persecute you. Peter told Jesus at one point in the Gospels, he said, Lord, we left everything to follow you. We've left houses and lands and this, that, and the other. And Jesus said, no one who has left houses and lands and families and things of this sort will not receive not much more in this life, but in the age to come. The narrative, the very next statement, with persecutions. And we'll see next week, we'll be talking about sanctification and the trials, the persecutions, the suffering that we go through in this life is to purge us of this world and to make us ready for heaven, ready for that eternal state. Romans 8, verse 16, it says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He gave us His Spirit. He gave us something within inside ourselves that came from without to help us believe, to help us know that we are the children of God. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we also may be glorified with Him. It doesn't sound like a good deal, does it? It's like a lawyer calling you and saying, hey, you had a rich uncle that died, and he left you a great inheritance. But you're going to have to go through some bad stuff in order to get it. But Jesus promised, even in our suffering, He'll never leave us or forsake us. We don't carry this burden. We don't carry this load alone. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, because you are sons of God, He has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. If you would turn to Matthew 25. Just want to read one verse out of the parable of the sheep and the goats. And it speaks to the ones on his right, his sheep, his adopted children, the ones that he has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into them. And it says this, "Then shall the King say to them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." The Bible says that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, or even has entered into the heart of man what he's prepared for us. What a day that will be. Hebrews 11, if you'll turn there, a few more scriptures before we end this morning. Talks about us not being of this world. Hebrews 11. Let's look at verses 24 through 27. It says, "By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." And notice here, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Excuse me. "Esteeming the reproach of Christ great riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." He's seen all the flash. He's seen the gold and silver. He grew up in Pharaoh's house. He had everything at his disposal that his heart would desire. He was looking for something else. Look back up at verse 14. And it speaks of people that are like this, those who are adopted by the King, those who have His Spirit within them, those who have been born from above. And it says, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And if truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But they desire a better country, that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city." In my life, the Lord has allowed me to have a good life. I've been able to have stuff. But that don't even compare to what we will have with Him in glory. The Scripture says, "Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where worm and rot and rust cannot touch it." If you would, turn back to Romans 8, and let's wrap up. Romans 8, let's look at verse 18 through 25. And Paul says this of this life. He says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which we shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into this glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Each and every one of you in here know that this world, no matter how much it offers, it never satisfies. Our hope is in heaven. Our hope is with our God in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And with patience, we wait for that glorious day. John 16:33, I'll leave you with this scripture. It says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Saint of God, rest in this, that he who began a good work in you, he's going to see it through. You'll stand in glory one day, and you'll sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And we'll spend eternity with our great God who loved us so much. Amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you for that great love, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're a good God, a righteous God, that not only just saved us, but you love us so much, Lord, that you rear us. You prepare us, Father, for this great eternity we have in front of us, Lord. We praise you for it. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you adopted us into your family, Lord. What grace, what mercy you have shown rebels like us, Lord. Purge us from our sins, Lord. Make us ready for this heaven that you have prepared for us. Be with us the rest of this morning. Be with the time with the children, dear Lord. In our prayer, and bless the next hour service, Father. Be with our brother as he opens the word and preaches. Speak to us, Lord. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Yes, sir.